broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law that I am, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally, spread the word, tell your neighbors. The broadcast is absolutely free. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. A quick recap of yesterday's show, ladies and gentlemen. We had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. RonPaulInstitute.org, doing a phenomenal job. We talked about Lowell updating us from his vacation in Mexico. He said, hey, they're a lot more serious about wearing masks than we are while indoors. But when you get outdoors, it's pretty casual, pretty comfortable. He also talked about the old-fashioned handshakes and hugs, a blast from the past, or are we going to have them back? And we talked about the importance of human touch. Yeah, anyway, great vacation for Lowell in Mexico. Then we cranked it right up to kick off 2021. Just right with hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use. Dixie State University, that's in Utah. Name change recommended to the Utah legislature. We talked about how ill-advised that really is. All right, we talked about a Republican North Carolina congressman, a new elect, if you will. His name is Madison Cawthorn. And he sounded off about the cancel culture. And he said he thinks that it could be the end of our democracy in an interview with the Daily Caller. Now, I disagree it could be the end of our democracy because we don't have a democracy. Pledge allegiance to the flag. If you don't believe me, we have a constitutional republic. The founding fathers said if you can keep it. And that very talk of a democracy might make it impossible to keep the constitutional republic because the people will be so ignorant. They won't be able to hold on to the proper role of limited constitutional government based on the rule of law and God's law. Democracies don't care about God's law, folks. Nevertheless, Mr. Cawthorn is right when it comes to the cancel culture being a problem. We talked about that in relation to Utah, possibly changing the name for Dixie, the state college or state university, because once you do that, you know, you fall into the cancel culture, you lose your history. Once you lose your tie to history, you eventually lose your culture and your country, your society. And the sad part about it is, you know, the Dixie collegiate leaders, whatever you want to call them, are kind of victims as well of the cancel culture because they're saying, we don't really think Dixie is a problem name. We don't really think it has the racist, you know, connotations that others are claiming. The problem for us is when our students graduate, they're having a tough time getting the job because people see you're from Dixie University and people kind of freak. So we want to change the name to be, you know, kind and beneficial to our students who are seeking employment after graduation. And I get their problem. I also get that if we cater to the cancel culture, if you're not very careful, we'll have nothing left at the end. So be very, very careful. I propose what they do is go on a massive education campaign to teach people the true history of why was the Utah College and then University named Dixie in the first place. What did it mean? Why do they use it? There's a lot of rich history there. And so we ought to double down and jettison the cancel culture. And I believe the Dixie people, if they really dug in and really stood their ground and really educated and focused on history, I believe eventually they could prevail. And it would be not only a unique thing for going to Dixie, but it would be prestigious. It could be if we were to dig in and do it right. But it's all based on the state legislative body. What kind of a backbone do these people have? And time will tell. We will hopefully be able to get more news on this and keep an eye on the ball just for you as the Utah legislative session kicks off later this month. By the way, do you believe in self-determination? That's what this is all about, folks. That's what Dixie was all about. That's what America is all about. Are we going to cancel all that? You ain't seen nothing yet, ladies and gentlemen. The worst is yet to come. That's a column written by Gary D. Barnett. Great column about the cancel culture, about COVID, about what are we doing in society? Are we just going to capitulate to everything? Are we going to stand our ground somewhere? Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, his home in Louisville, Kentucky, got vandalized last weekend by spray paint, etc., and Nancy Pelosi's home was also vandalized. Both sides of the aisle getting nailed by extreme. Now, this is what's fascinating to me. Remember how Donald Trump, after the Virginia event, Charlottesville, Virginia, President Trump said, hey, there's good people on both sides and there's whacked out extremists on both sides. And he got absolutely slam-basted by the media for that, remember? Now you got Mitch McConnell's house and Nancy Pelosi's house both being vandalized literally a day apart, same weekend. Doesn't that articulate that there's good and bad on both sides? I reject the vandalism of anybody's home. I reject the vandalism and the abuse of people and violence and or the destruction of property or the vandalism of property anywhere from anyone to anyone. I reject it. Unequivocally stand against it. But this just proves that President Trump was right. There's bad guys on both sides. And that was hour one with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, every Monday. He's going to start joining us Mondays and Fridays, I might add. So look forward to that. Great commentary by Lowell Nelson. campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job. Second hour, we had on the good doctor with us, Dr. Scott Bradley, his goal to preserve the nation, his collegiate series to do the same. It's a book and collegiate lecture series and more, a whole homeschool curriculum as well, if you will. You can learn more about it at freedomsrisingsun.com. He also has weekly webinars at freedomsrisingsun.com. Great work by the doctor, Dr. Scott Bradley, who joins us Monday, second hour. And he'll start joining us Mondays and Fridays as well. So you can kick off the start of the week with Lowell and Scott, or Lowell and the Good Doctor. And you can end the week with Lowell and the Good Doctor, too. We're making some big-time additions to the broadcast. More and more co-hosts, people jumping in with great commentary and content. That's what we're doing on Liberty Roundtable Live. By the way, did you know we're in our 25th year of Liberty Roundtable Live? The show had a different name for a while. When we first started out, it was called Your Business, Making Items of Interest to Your Business. But it was the same show, and we've been on the air live for that long. And you could say, well, Sam, haven't you talked that you've been in the radio business for 25 years plus? Yeah, because we were in radio before we started doing a show that was consistent, right? We did shows once in a while and radio commercials and promoted other shows. And, you know, our radio career spans longer than 25 years, even some local radio stuff. But 25 years of consistent Liberty Roundtable Live, or incarnations thereof, if you will. For a little bit, Kurt and Sam were separated because of travel distance, and I hadn't developed my software yet, so I called my show Sam Bushman Live for a little bit. Kurt did a show at the same time, so it was a little bit separate. Not by choice then, by the way. But so there's been a few changes along the way, but for the most part, Liberty Roundtable Live, 25 years. All right, we talked about 11 Republican senators led by Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Announced they would object to the certification of states' electoral college votes when Congress meets on January the 6th. When's that? Tomorrow? Yeah, Congress should immediately appoint a commission, an electoral commission, with full investigatory and fact-finding authority to get to the bottom of this vote fraud stuff, and this vote irregularity stuff, whatever words you want to use, once and for all. Yeah, we need an emergency 10-day audit within the questionable states, these senators say. Vice President Mike Pence's office also released a statement saying that he welcomes Republican lawmakers and their raising of objections on January the 6th, Wednesday. That's tomorrow. He shares the concerns of millions of Americans relating to the vote fraud or voter irregularities that people are documenting everywhere. That's what Pence's chief of staff, Mark Short, said to the newspaper The Hill. So Pence is on it, 11 senators on it. CIA now mobilizes against Donald Trump. Some are saying Trump may invoke the Insurrection Act. Cliff Kincaid, USASurvival.org, chiming into that. So that's interesting. Our prayers are that it's peaceful. D.C. surge now prompts closures through mid-January, says USA Today. So they're closing things down. They're predicting violence. Everybody's gathering. By the way, we've got some people on the ground ready to report live for Liberty Roundtable, by the way. And then I guess there was a 216 to 218 vote. Or, I'm sorry, 216 to 208. My error. 216 to 208 vote. Nancy Pelosi was reelected as the House Speaker. See, nothing changes within the swamp, folks. They just keep doing the same thing they've always done, don't they? We also talked about this incredible story. Government orders Jesus on T-shirt, censored as political speech. By the way, Jesus holds no political office and was not on the ballot, writes Bob Unruh. WND.com doing a great job. But there was a lawsuit filed in federal court against the city of Hart, H-A-R-T, Hart, Michigan, after officials there ordered a T-shirt about Jesus. I guess the message was censored. Yeah. The case developed when a lady named Margaret Whitman, I guess she was a poll worker there. She was an election worker. She was relieved of her duties. The case seeks a declaration that, hey, they're violating the Constitution. There you have it. Anyway, serious, serious lawsuit. Our prayers are with Jesus and Mrs. Whitman. I'll tell you that right now. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio, hard-hitting news. The networks refuse to use always. On tap, 6 days a week on the Sabbath. We rest. Isn't that what we're commanded to do, ladies and gentlemen? We try to be obedient to God Almighty, the author of our liberty. We're far from perfect. We're not as obedient as we ought to be, but we sure try hard. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I guess Slack is back. News the networks refuse to use starts now. Slack is back, they say. After starting the new year with an outage. So if you don't know what Slack is a communications tool of modern business, if you will. It's like an instant messenger, but with much, much, much more power. It just got bought for big, big money by Salesforce. But nevertheless, Slack had a big outage to kick off the year for hours yesterday. All kind of services were down. people were freaking out. Remote workers had to go use other services from Microsoft or Zoom or other video conferencing things. Or, oh my goodness, people actually had to text and pick up the phone and make phone calls. It was crazy. Anyway, that was going on. And Slack doesn't really know why they were down or why they had all the problems. They can't really say. They just know they're going to dig into it and get back to us later on it. But the point is, Slack is back. And it's just interesting to me to note, you know, we get so dependent on these tools. So what does Slack do if you don't know? It's like an instant messaging tool. You can chat back and forth with people via text. You can send pictures and emojis. You can tag different people into conversations. You can archive things. Slack can connect via integrations to a gazillion other services and do things. But you can basically communicate with Slack. And it's basically, in many cases, have replaced email and other services. It's a real-time tool in that you can chat live and communicate with one or many people. They have chat groups and teams and channels and whatever, and you can have different channels for different reasons. And anyway, it's a very complicated tool. It's instant messaging on steroids is what it really is, because you can make phone calls with it. You can integrate it into other services and things that can transfer to Slack from other services via Zapier. And anyway, I'll get a little bit more technical than we want, but you can have things go to Slack or from Slack with integrations to other services such as Zendesk and many other tools. So it's a pretty neat tool. There's free versions of Slack. Millions and millions of people use it. There's also paid versions of Slack, which have a lot more features and a lot more retention of messages, because there's a different term in communications when it comes to corporate worlds and businesses and governments and such like that. They have definitions of communications, like transient communications. That means that it's sent back and forth real time, or maybe even delayed, but yet it's not retained. Okay, transient communications are not retained. They're not meant to be long-term storable. And so when you use these kind of services, you got to be aware of that. Well, if you're using the free version of Slack, then it's kind of transient communications, because eventually it scrolls off and you don't really have a record of it. It's not long-term stored. And if you pay for the service, then it becomes more than transient communications. It becomes an archive, a treasure trove. But Slack has tremendous search capabilities. And anyway, I go on. The reason that I bring all this up and give you some of the details is because we've become so dependent on these tools. It is shocking. And when they go down, the whole business world just melts down. So Slack is back after starting the new year with a big outage. And what's interesting to me about that is it was a big outage. I mean, people were literally saying, you know what, I can't go to work. I can't. Might as well just take the day off. Slack's down. It's just like, wow. Folks, we need to become more resilient than that, okay? I mean, I get that Slack's important. I get that it's got a great feature set. I get that it's kind of revolutionized communications and really become the enabler between Slack and Zoom. They've kind of become the enablers of remote work. I get all that, right? I understand. I also understand, though, that you just can't become so dependent on this kind of stuff that you melt down without it. Because I'm telling you right now, as the world gets, what word do I want to use? I want to be careful here, but more perilous? More terroristic-minded? More unsafe? More global? More international? More whatever you want to say? You can expect this stuff to increase. They don't even know why they were down, really, or why they were having the outages yet. Doesn't that scare you when they don't really know why? Somebody just took them down. What if they take them down for a week instead of a day? What if it's a month instead of a week? In fact, what if they do something that's worse intentionally rather than we're just not sure why? What if somebody... Okay, so we need to learn that these tools are wonderful. Don't get me wrong, and I'm glad for them, because, look, it's this modern internet, this modern communications, this technology that allows me to broadcast to you via AM/FM affiliates, via the internet, live and on-demand radio and more, right? Everywhere, right? Roku channels and Slack. And you can listen everywhere. Did you know there's plugins to Slack where you can listen to the radio? Like I say, it's everywhere. All right, I digress, except for I'm pointing out that this stuff is wonderful. Don't get me wrong, and I use it every day. Right? I'm an IT guy for a living. But I also get that you cannot become so dependent on these tools that you lack fundamental skills of, hey, you can pick up the phone and talk to somebody. Did you know that? I know people are like, what? Call somebody? Are you kidding me? I don't want to talk to somebody. Well, that's what I mean. We cannot become that antisocial. Because societal realities are at stake here, folks. You cannot just become antisocial and go through your workday and never talk to somebody physically face-to-face and or real-time with, you know, heaven forbid, your voice, right? So we got to be very careful not to jettison these norms in society so quickly because of these technological advances. Evolutions in technology, I get it that you're going to have some changes. You're going to replace some normal sentence structure communications with emojis and all this kind of stuff, right? I get all that. But at the same time, you can't just rely on memes for everything, okay? You've got to communicate, right? So I bring this up because I think it's even deeper than just Slack going down, right? Let me give you an example to make the point. And these were early days. These were probably 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, kind of days where a lot of the changes happened. It used to be to where you would use a cash register, but you would have to count out change to people. I know. You know, you'd have to basically learn to count. You know, whatever the number was, you would count up back to the amount that they had. If they give you a $20 bill, you know, when it was $5.10, then you would say, okay, look, they gave me 20. So you'd say your bill was 5.10. Here's a dime. Here's a nickel. Now that's 5.25. Here's 3/4. That's $6. Here's $4. That's 10. And here's a 10 or 2 5s. That makes 20. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. And you would count that way back. And it was an easy way. Whatever they gave you, all you had to do is count back to the bill that was given to make appropriate change. And then we got to where we had credit cards, so you didn't have to make change. And then we got to the point where the system just told you on the screen or whatever how much change you needed to give, and so people kind of forgot to count. And then it got to where, hey, you had to have a digital cash register for the cash drawer to pop open. Otherwise, it was locked. Well, then when the power went out, you couldn't charge your credit card, and your, you know, drawer wouldn't just pop open with electricity, so you'd have to find some little instrument and press a little button inside somewhere, and boom, the drawer would open. But yet you couldn't really maintain change for people because you couldn't charge credit cards, and by golly, the 16-year-old wasn't able to count backwards to count your money back. By golly, we can't even do business now because the power's out, the cash register. We've got to get to where we can learn to be a little bit more resilient in these times, folks. And why do you say, Sam, why do you spend so much time on this? From a simple Slack headline? Wow, Sam, you're wasting our time. No, I don't think so. Slack is back after starting the new year with an outage. I think that's critical. I think it's a sign of the times. And I think we better learn for disruptions, whether they be communicational, financial, physical, illness, health-related, whatever they be. We better get used to it, because I believe there'll be more and more and more of them as we continue along our way into a more connected, global, disruptive world. And I'm telling you this because I think resilience is the key to stability and success. If your people are trained, what do you do at a store when the power goes out? Well, no big deal. You form a line. You take their Federal Reserve notes, their paper money, and you know, you do business with people still. And there's ways to do these things. But you got to have your people trained and understand, and no panic, no fear. Look, this is, we've planned for this. When this happens, here's what we do. And you know what? You can put a step-by-step guide together. You can put a, when this happens, do this scenario together that can make a big difference. Right? I think we need to get there. Now, I know you'd say, well, Sam, we can't get there. The gas pumps won't work. They're digital and electronic. And yeah, but you can buy big generators that can, you know, take over in emergency times. You can also say maybe parts of our business won't be operational, but other parts will. You know what? You may not be able to get gas, but you certainly can fill your, you know, tires with air. Well, Sam, that's electronic too. Okay, you can't vacuum your car. Okay, that's fine. But there's ways to power some of that stuff with generators, etc. But there's also ways, ladies and gentlemen, to run part of your business. You could say, well, hey, a lot of these electronic capabilities that we support are not available, but you know what? You can still buy drinks. You can still buy whatever. Or we can still provide services for you. We need to learn to become more resilient in these times. And Liberty Roundtable Live will be talking over the next several years more about preparedness, more about solutions, more about hope and appropriate responses when things don't work out as planned. Do you melt down or do you take courage? We submit the Take Courage plan is always the high road. This is indeed the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Both President-elect Joe Biden and President Trump held rallies Monday in the U.S. state of Georgia, where two runoff elections Tuesday will determine whether Republicans or Democrats control power in the U.S. Senate.
Your vote tomorrow will decide which party controls the United States Senate. The radical Democrats are trying to capture Georgia's Senate seats so they can wield unchecked, unrestrained, absolute power over every aspect of your lives.
Georgia, there's no one in America with more power to make that happen than you, the citizens of Atlanta, the citizens of Georgia.
The polls in Georgia will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. local time. A correction to yesterday's broadcast, we erroneously reported model actress Tanya Roberts had died. Although gravely ill in a Los Angeles, California hospital, she is still alive. USA Radio News.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The National Football League playoff picture is set for this weekend. USA Radio News' Dan Naraki has the details.
The matchups are set for the first weekend of the NFL playoffs, with each conference having an additional team participating. Next weekend, we'll see six wild card games. On Saturday, the Indianapolis Colts will take on the Buffalo Bills. The LA Rams head to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, and the Washington football team will host Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On Sunday, the Tennessee Titans welcome the Baltimore Ravens in a rematch from last season's divisional round. The Chicago Bears take on the New Orleans Saints, and the Cleveland Browns will take on the Pittsburgh Steelers in a rematch from their Week 17 game that saw the Browns clinch their first playoff berth in 18 seasons. The Kansas City Chiefs and Green Bay Packers received first-round byes as the top seeds in the AFC and NFC, respectively. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says a New York resident with no known travel history has tested positive for the coronavirus variant that's more contagious but not more deadly. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Always on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to get a hold of Stuart Rhodes so he can be on the radio with us, folks. But I'm all by myself, as you know, and so it's really hard to sometimes get some of these things done. We're adjusting the best we can. I want to play this vote fraud thing that I made because, you know what? It's really apropos for today and tomorrow when everybody's in Washington, D.C. So let's play this commercial. I'll grab Stuart Rhodes, and we'll be right back here live. Hold on.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Stuart Rhodes with us, oathkeepers.org. He's live on the ground in D.C. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing fantastic. I played a little vote fraud commercial where Barack Obama's doubling down, saying that Republicans and Democrats both commit vote fraud. And then Donald Trump saying they commit fraud. So both sides of the aisle admits to it when they want to. They're not when they don't want to. Everybody is conjugating in D.C. for this very discussion, sir.
That's right.
What is it like on the ground? They're predicting violence and trouble everywhere.
Well, we're not there yet. I'm actually on my way in, so I'm still outside, just to be clear on that.
Okay.
But so far, from what I hear from my guys, it's quiet. We were here for the last two big rallies, and I don't expect it to be much different than that unless things go chaotic, if the either one of two things happens. One, the mayor of Washington, D.C. tries to, you know, be an idiot and curtail the right of people to for free speech and assembly, or if there's a really bad outcome in the Congress and the people have just had it. So we'll see what happens. So we expect to be about 3 million strong today. The president will be speaking tomorrow, actually. It's going to be the critical day. So today should be pretty quiet, a lot of big rallies, but then tomorrow's a big day when we find out what's going to happen. I have a bad feeling that the bad guys don't care what they have to do. They'll violate their own rules in the House, or McConnell, the traitor, will violate their own rules in the Senate and do whatever they have to do to rubber stamp Biden. And so I think what's going to have to happen is President Trump has got to put his Lincoln hat on and invoke the Insurrection Act and do the data dump and do the declassification and data dump that I've been calling for about 8 months now. That's his only move. That's all he has left. The Supreme Court is full of traitors, tip for two, right? So the system from top to bottom and all the branches has been taken over by enemies foreign and domestic. And that's just the reality. So it's way worse than what Lincoln faced with the Civil War. This is far, far worse. So you've got people who are in the back pocket of China, either because they've been bribed, like the Bidens, or blackmailed, like Biden's son. So that's all over. And all the agencies and all the branches, the Chinese have spent money to buy these soulless politicians who only care about political power and money. That's where we're at.
They've put in spies. They've slept with powerful people right on up to the top. And now we're being forced to deal with it. Let me ask you this. Is it possible, Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org, is it possible to have the right thing happen? In other words, to defend the republic, to carry out the constitutional reality, to keep peace, to stop vote fraud, and stop the deep state without violence. Is it possible to do, do you think?
Only if President Trump uses his authority as the president commander-in-chief, and he should do it now. It's a mistake to wait until tomorrow afternoon when they rubber stamp the nonsense. Like I said, they'll violate their own rules to do it. You should expect that. Just as the Supreme Court ducked its own original jurisdiction, its own responsibility to hear a case of controversy between states, they declined it, even though they have no authority to decline it. So the same thing will happen in the U.S. Congress. So President Trump has got to use his powers as commander-in-chief. Look at it like this. The founders made the president the commander-in-chief over the militia and the armed forces for a reason. He swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution for a reason. And there's been the Insurrection Act of 1807 for a reason. All of those are clearly constitutional powers that he must use. And there have been statutes, of course, in the Constitution itself. There's the crime of treason, right? Article 3, Section 3 defines the crime of treason as making war on the United States or aiding its enemies. Well, that's exactly what's happening. This is unrestricted warfare, what the communist Chinese call it. You can call it fourth generation or fifth generation warfare. It's warfare through every other means except conflict. They knew they couldn't defeat the United States.
Hello? Yep, keep going, sir. We got you.
Okay. Yeah, they know they could not defeat the United States in open combat, so they switched gears, and for the last couple of decades, they've been undermining and subverting us from the inside out. Then you have domestic enemies, you know, the communists, who are more than happy to help. And then you just have the deep state elite who want to rule over us, and they have no problem aligning with the communist Chinese.
All right, prediction. President Trump has been quite hesitant. There's been swirlings about it, but no real efforts by the president. Do you think Trump has the guts to do it? Will he do it? And do you think there'll be peace?
I really don't know. I hope.
All right, Stuart's traveling. He's breaking up a little bit. Let's see if we can get him back here real quick. Are you still there, sir? All right, shoot, I think we lost him. Are you there, Stuart? All right, we lost Stuart Rhodes. I'm so sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. He's traveling on the way to D.C. now. He's not quite there yet. But as all the people that he's working with say that it's all quiet on the ground there, that's good news. That's a good sign. He did mention some things about the mayor that are worthy of note, which is, you know what? The mayor cannot do something stupid and add insult to injury here. That would be a big mistake indeed. And I agree. Now, part of the problem, though, is that I think the mayor is working on some things to curtail the people's rights. You know, they say D.C.'s getting shut down. If you type in D.C. shut down on Google, headline says D.C. shuts down indoor dining, closes museums. D.C. will shut down indoor dining. Shut down D.C. D.C. begins a 3-week shutdown in indoor dining. Fact check, they say the D.C. mayor did not shut down businesses. D.C. shut down targets conservative organizations. You know, what do you think will happen? Let me see if I can get Stuart back here now. Let's see about this. All right, are you there again, Stuart?
I am. Sorry about that.
Excellent. No problem, sir. Thank you. We know you're traveling. Go right ahead. Continue.
Well, I mean, so it was pathetic in a way to not in a way. I won't qualify it. It was pathetic to see him campaigning for people who have not lifted a finger. Only now do they say that they'll vote against or they'll stand up and object to the Biden slaves. Only now they've opened their mouths.
It's almost like they wanted. It's almost like they wanted to do it in word, not in deed, huh?
Exactly. They just want the votes. But here's the thing: it's been rigged already. I think the Democrats are going to steal it, and these Republicans really don't care. McConnell and the rest of them, because they're in the club. Look at Loeffler, right? Her husband is the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange. That's exactly the entity that Chinese professor was bragging about controlling, right? They control Wall Street. They control the people that run the inner circle. And they bragged about this. And Trump's an outsider, and he's there, you know, lauding these people and how wonderful her husband is. Her husband's the head of the entity that wants to take him out, you know, in New York, the New York Stock Exchange. So I think it's just kind of pathetic. I mean, he's campaigning for people who don't care about him and don't care about the country.
Hang tight, Stuart. We got a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Stuart Rhodes with us. Oathkeepers.org, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to live coverage of D.C. People are gathering today. Tomorrow's the big event. What's going to happen? Oh, boy. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we had named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Stuart Rhodes with me, oathkeepers.org. He's rolling into D.C. now, traveling there. The events are going on. They're expected to be millions of people. It's going to be out of control for sure. The question is, will it remain peaceful? Our prayers are yes. Our predictions are quite murky at this point. The mayor might get belligerent and start closing everything down. If that happens, it will not be fun because people will not have near the equipment in the cold without food and everything else. All it will do is ratchet up, in my opinion, the troubles. Time will tell what Congress will do. Sadly, these senators and others, they didn't stand up early and say, hey, we're going to get this done. At the last minute, they said, oh, we're going to protest this. But is it really in word, not in deed, is kind of the concern and the question. President Trump hasn't made the moves that maybe he needs to make either on this, meaning, hey, releasing the evidence to the people so that we can get behind him more. And right now, it's a pretty murky reality check, isn't it, Stuart?
Well, that's exactly the problem. That was my point about him campaigning in Georgia. It's absurd in two ways. One, it's the exact same voting machine, the exact same system that we already know was not just unsecure, but used to cheat last time. And they had a witness break right into the current election right there on the floor of their legislature while he was at a hearing. And hacked right in and showed that it could be hacked.
And then they run around and let the media say there's no evidence.
Right. So you have a fraudulent election happening again. What he should do right now, what he should have already done, is put the National Guard on the streets in Georgia and said, we're going to run this with paper ballots and have an actual clean election. That's what he should do right now. So he's letting them steal it again right from underneath him. At the same time, it's absurd because he's also, the two GOP candidates are themselves turncoats, I think. So he's not doing us any good. Do you
think that he's deceived on this? Do you think that he just doesn't feel like that he can or he appears too dictatorial? Do you believe that he's just got bad advisors whispering in his ear? What do you think is going on?
I think all of that. And this is the thing is, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I called on him that he used the Insurrection Act back in the summer. What I said is, that, you know, and the data dump and all of that, I said he must do this now because he waits till after the election, then they'll claim that, see, he only is doing this to stay in office. And if he waits until after tomorrow when they rule against him and certify the fraudulent slate for Biden, it'll be even worse. It'll be like, see, he's lost in the courts, he lost in the actual election, he even lost in the challenges in Congress. And only now is he pulling out the Insurrection Act just to stay in power. They're going to claim he's a dictator. I mean, he still has to do it. We have no choice. We're in a war. He needs to see the reality is in a war, and it's better to wage it while he's the commander-in-chief than to let it be stolen and put a Chi-Com puppet in the White House, and then we wind up fighting. It's even worse.
Well, and it's better to go on the offense.
Best way to go.
It's better to go on the offense as well and control the narrative and discuss things as they really are and release the evidence to document the narrative rather than it is to just play defense all the time.
Exactly. That's why he has to do a declassification and data dump. He has absolute authority as a president, commander-in-chief, to declassify anything he wants. They can't stop it. So he needs to do it and then do a WikiLeaks-style or Snowden-style, you know, disclosure to the American people. But when he does it, it's not espionage. It's his powers as commander-in-chief. Once again, the founders knew what they were doing. He has the absolute authority to do this. That is the swamp water. All the secrets, all the secret files that they've held on people, that's how they control them. And if he drains it by dumping all the skeletons down in the streets, then they have no more power, and the people know exactly who's dirty, you know, who's a pedophile, who's taking money from China, who's been blackmailed. They know exactly. And they'll be on the defensive. And he'll have the maximum support for the military, the police, and the people themselves to go and clean house and arrest these people and put them on trial. And he needs to have special prosecutors aggressively going out there right now and indicting them. And above all, he should refuse to stand down, and he should schedule a clean, a new election nationwide in every state with paper ballots as fast as possible. That's what should happen.
It should happen precinct by precinct, and we should have actual vote people. It should be transparent, paper ballots, precinct by precinct, and every precinct can have enough people transparently to literally double down and create under penalty of perjury numbers.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, above all, he needs an aggressive attorney general and special prosecutors with him to get this done.
All right, they're referring to Oath Keepers as a militia group all over the media. Do you consider Oath Keepers a militia group?
Well, not in the sense that I believe a legitimate militia is organic to the town and the county. It's the people who live in the town and the county. I will tell you this. I have been actively advising and helping to raise and train militias, real militias across the country. And if Biden somehow gets his decrepit, you know, Chi-Com butt in the White House, that will be what I'll be doing 24/7 all over the country. But we will be in D.C. We're already on the ground in D.C. We'll be there today and tomorrow in force to protect people. We're protecting multiple events that will be at every single one of the events. We're doing PSD details for many of the speakers, including Roger Stone. We will be there through the day and the night to protect all the Trump people that can be there against attack by Antifa. And that's what we've done before. We'll do it again this weekend, but this week.
All right, let me bring up why I'm asking the question, because a lot of people are afraid of the word militia. They don't understand what a militia is. In modern times, we've perverted and bastardized, pardon the term, but I don't know how else to explain it. Militia to the point where people don't even know what it is in America now. They're afraid of it and think it's a vigilante crazy group. That's a lie. Militias are part of the Constitutional Republic and part of the way we became free in the first place. People need to not be afraid of that reality check, should they?
Well, exactly. In fact, the founders told us in the Second Amendment that a well-regulated militia is necessary for security of a free state. You must have it. If you don't have it, you're not going to be secure or free. And that's reality. So we have to get back to the institution. But it's even more important when you're dealing with a total war by a foreign power that's using domestic puppets that are trampling on the people's rights. And that should sound familiar. That's exactly what the founders dealt with. They had King George oppressing them from overseas, using his puppets. And back then, the mega international corporation was the East India Company, that one had a special power and privilege and an artificial monopoly that was being enforced by the government, that was terrorizing the people and violating their rights. And today we have Facebook and Twitter and Amazon, et cetera. And COVID-19, of course, has been one big massive transition of wealth from the middle America to the big corporations. So that's what we're facing now, very much a parallel to the founding fathers. We have no representation in this government because it's been stolen. Just they had no representation in parliament. So we are being terrorized, and our rights are being violated without the consent of the government.
But our situation, I think, is much more perilous because it's global in nature. Not only does it have a domestic threat, but a foreign threat like you wouldn't believe, way more so than in yesteryear. So we certainly are at a crossroads for the hearts and minds and souls of the sacred cause of liberty. That's for sure. Stuart, we'll catch you soon, my friend, and we'll get an update on what's going on.
You bet. I'll be speaking tomorrow, and when I talk, I'll be urging the people to focus on calling on the president to invoke the Insurrection Act now.
Right,
and they should be doing that now. Don't wait till tomorrow afternoon after the Congress stabs them in the back. Do it now.
When and where will you be speaking, sir?
I'll be down outside the Capitol. I'm not sure exactly of the spot. I got to check and see which one it is, but right there outside the Capitol.
And when?
Tomorrow afternoon. Not sure what time.
All right.
I'll be speaking both in the morning and the afternoon.
We don't know when the final vote will be or what it will be tomorrow either, because it depends on how many people protest and what they protest on how many hours the debates will be forced, right?
Pardon?
We don't know exactly when they'll be voting tomorrow either, because based on them protesting or challenging the election, then it could take several hours of debate. We don't know how long that'll be, right?
That's correct. I mean, so there's one sliver of hope that the states will decertify. We have that's being done or attempted in Georgia, Arizona, and Pennsylvania. So there's still that potential. If that happens, there'll be a much better chance for this to Trump to prevail in the House and Senate, because it'll be much more difficult for them to try to override the state's clear certification for Trump. That's his best chance. And that's where you get a vote by delegation in the House.
The question becomes, do the states have the moxie, right?
Well, sure. And then, of course, then there's the question of, in the House, yeah, I could see Pelosi, no doubt, using whatever, you know, authority she has, or even claiming authority she doesn't have, to shut down debate and rubber stamp it. The big question is, what will happen in the Senate? And, of course, the leadership are traitors. But will the senators, the rank-and-file senators, rise up enough to make McConnell back off? Or will he back off because he sees the anger out there outside the Capitol? We'll see what happens.
All right, my friend, we'll have you back soon. Godspeed.
All right, you too, Coop. Take care,
Stuart
brother.
Rhodes, everybody, doing a phenomenal job, as he always does. You know what? One thing you got to give Stuart Rhodes credit for, he's always on the ground, always involved, putting his own safety on the line for the people. They don't roll in and add anger. They don't roll in and add escalation. They provide peace and de-escalation. The big pitch on oathkeepers.org right now is, hey, we're going to help patriots who want to go to these rallies and be peaceful get to and from their vehicles, to and from the events, to and from. Their whole job is peacekeeping, protection, making sure that things don't go off the rails. Because, see, these Antifa thugs and these violent people, they like to take advantage of elderly or families or, you know, innocent people trying to, peacefully be involved in things. They love to take advantage of that and just create mayhem and violence and trouble. And so the Oath Keeper's role primarily is to, you know, support the police, support the security there, and make sure that, you know what, people are treated decent, right, moral. There's not violence and destruction of property and all those kind of things that the typical riot fest brings, right? And so Oath Keepers has a critical role, and they've done this in city after city after city over the last several years. And man, are they doing a phenomenal job at it. Man, are they doing a good work. And they really need your donations. Oathkeepers.org. I don't get a penny for it, folks. I'm just telling you. Because they need sleeping bags and places for hotels and food for the people that go there, the Oath Keepers that go there, and volunteer their time, put themselves in harm's way for you, ladies and gentlemen, to try to keep the peace, to try to keep things civil, and to try to keep things from running off the rails in a mayhem cutaway. They support the peaceful assembly that the Constitution affords. And the goal is to jettison, the riots, the moving into protests that become violent, that become destructive of property, protests that mayors and governors across the country have been all too willing to step aside and allow to happen, and many times encourage happening. Seattle and Portland and, you know, Chicago and some of these places come to mind, right? The Oath Keepers does their very best to make sure that, hey, we remain a peaceful society, that people aren't hurt and harmed. What a blessed job they're doing. Oathkeepers.org. Stuart Rhodes, everybody. Donate today. They need your financial support. When they're on the ground, it isn't cheap. They're volunteering, so they don't want your money to pay everybody. They do need supplies and support. That's without a doubt. Oathkeepers.org. Tell them I sent you. How's that? All right. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Stuart Rhodes on your radio. Hour one of the can. Hour two coming up. And man, do we got hard-hitting talk straight ahead. As always, on Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com. LovingLiberty.net are the websites. Donate liberally. Spread the word. Tell your neighbor. Free live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. 6 days a week for Liberty Roundtable Live, and incredible hosts around the clock at lovingliberty.net. For Sam Bushman and Stuart Rhodes, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.